Welcome to The Brand Manual, a podcast exploring brand identity and messaging. We talk to business pros who have something to say about how creative strategies fuel their brands.
The CEO of Cafe Brazil, Brant Wood, joins us on The Brand Manual to discuss pumpkin pancakes, French toast, and omelets. Oh, and their philosophy on developing managerial talent, the bottomless cup of specialty coffees, and fun moments with the 3 a.m. crowd. All this and much more on The Brand Manual.
Brant, we are so excited that you are here. We are huge fans of Cafe Brazil, and so excited about not just the food, which is amazing, and the coffee bar, which is amazing, but also the expansion and what you're doing with the restaurant and the line. Thanks for being here, first off.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, we're excited to get into it. Just real brief for our listeners, can you tell us a little bit about the restaurant, a little bit about what all you guys are up to?
Sure. We're a 7-unit full-service restaurant company based in out of Dallas-Fort Worth area. So all 7 locations are in and about Dallas. We have 4 locations that operate 24 hours, 7 days a week. The 3 that don't close around midnight, and we serve beer and wine at those locations.
Great.
Always looking for opportunity to grow. We're privately held and a small group of ownership. There's no real pressure to grow, but when we see opportunity, we like to jump on it. We operate out of second and third generation restaurant spaces. So one of the reasons you may like it as a customer is if you walk into every Cafe Brazil, they look completely different.
Right.
So we're not better in any way, whether it's the restaurant or the staff. The menu is consistent, but everything else, we try to blend into the neighborhood and kind of have our own eclectic feel.
Yeah. It's a very cool restaurant. Would you mind jumping in? Tell us how it started.
It started way back in the early 90s. It was a small 10-table restaurant that was really coffees around the world and kind of a light breakfast menu. I was introduced to Cafe Brazil actually when I was an executive at a larger restaurant company in Dallas, and it was one of my favorite places to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I was a regular customer with Cafe Brazil for a long time before I became part of the ownership and management group. So, it's always kind of had a mom and pop local feel to the customer. What we did in 2004 when we acquired it was try to put some professionalism behind the scenes, if you will,
mm-hmm.
but still kind of maintain that kind of fun, laid back atmosphere from the customer's perspective.
Yeah. For those who may not have actually visited the stores, it has a very, it feels eclectic. It feels like you're not in Dallas, Texas, frankly. You walk in and there's warm greeters, but it's also just got the clientele, you can tell, is varied and diverse. You've got people, I'm sure, by this point, that are multi-generational, faithful patrons because you've been around so long. The food, I'm not even going to go into the food yet because that's something that I actually want to spend a little time on. But when you guys started with that emphasis on coffee, that really predated what coffee and coffee culture is now in 2019. So you guys were really on the front end of that and bringing real distinction and diversity to the coffee scene in Dallas. So is that something that you guys hear constantly from your patrons, is this is about coffee?
We do. If there's any confusion with a brand, it's with a name like Brazil, there's some assumption that it may be more Brazilian food, where the Brazil is really the tide of coffee for us. One of the things that we did under our leadership starting in 2004 was really kind of refine the coffee program that we have. We've always been a little bit different than some of the traditional coffee houses. Maybe I've heard us be called the anti-Starbucks.
Right.
Because we do flavored coffees. We do kind of outside the box stuff. We offer seven different coffees every day, and those rotate daily. So,
and it's a bottomless cup, right? I mean, so you can just go.
It is a bottomless cup.
Yeah.
Yes. You can choose from among the 7. One of my favorite things to do is watch customers go in and kind of get a pump of three or four different kinds. So maybe somebody wants to dilute their caffeine with a little decaf, or maybe somebody wants a little bit of our bourbon pecan flavor, but not all flavored coffee. So they, you know, they use the house blend and pump a little bit of bourbon pecan in there. So
it's a little hint.
That's something I always did as a customer, and it's kind of a unique thing that we do. And we've stuck with that as the traditional coffee houses have gone to kind of stronger, robust, darker roasts. You can get that as one of our seven options, but not all seven.
Right.
And that's how we've differentiated ourselves.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
So you mentioned that there might be a little bit of confusion around Brazil and Brazilian fare. How did that play out? I mean, do people really get confused, or is it something that y'all have worked to overcome?
New customers can get confused. So when we took over the company, there was a cachet to the name Cafe Brazil. A lot of people knew that.
Right.
We didn't want to go away from that. The old architecture had some Brazilian rainforest themes, some of which we've maintained just because they're important to some of our longtime customers and recognizable. Over time, those themes inside the restaurant have changed. We still have bright colors. The concept didn't have a logo in 2004 when I got involved, and now we have a multicolored coffee cup logo that you probably recognize from our menu.
Yes.
We didn't have uniform iconography, things that were common amongst our restaurants. So whether you're in a suburban location or down in Deep Ellum, you're going to see our multicolored chip tiles. You're going to see that we use a multicolored checkerboard. We're going to have certain colors that we use. Our green script, lots of black backgrounds. We're a very artistic concept, which is neat for me. I'm a numbers guy. I can only draw stick figures. So it's really nice to be surrounded by talented artistic people. We hang local artists' work on the walls. Right. And so it's been a fun journey for me to surround myself with people that think from the other side of the brain.
Yeah.
And obviously if you've been to our restaurants before, you can see we have all walks of life, both as staff and customers. So it's a unique environment. It's fun. Our 24-hour locations, you can sit in one seat and see all different walks of life, whether it's business people at lunch and breakfast, transitioning into maybe families at night, and then the after bar scene, or the third shift hospital worker in the late night. So it's a unique thing that we do, and it keeps it exciting every day.
It really feels like it's representative of Dallas as a whole, right? So I've been to the one, obviously, on Central and like University there. I've been to the one at Deep Ellum. I've been to the one up north. And so it's fun to see how you guys pull from those specific locations. It's something that I think that probably every restaurant group wants to aspire to, and yet somehow organically through just the way that you guys have maintained that consistent quality and expanded, you guys have actually hit the thing like the bullseye in that respect, that there's deep loyalty and I don't know how much of that was really preconceived and orchestrated and strategic, and how much of it just seemed to happen because you guys just keep pushing the quality of the food. When you guys approach the strategy and growing up talent in your organization, how do you guys go about infusing that sense of pride and ownership in your staff?
Well, it's always been about the food. Mm-hmm. So first and foremost, the food and the coffee. You know, there's all kinds of cliches that go along with that, but the concentration has always been there. Finding employees that understand that's very critical and important to us.
I'm sure.
We're an urban concept from birth. Mm-hmm. So that kind of artistic, eclectic feel is urban born. But when we go to suburban areas, we want to carry forward some of those critical themes, but at the same time, blend in well if it's a, you know, suburban bedroom community. Right. There's certain things you have to do. So, but at the end of the day, how do we, good talent, we're a fun place to work. You know, if you're a server in the summertime, you can wear shorts and a Cafe Brazil t-shirt to wait tables. Uh-huh. Not everybody can do that.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you have blue hair or no hair like me. You know, everybody's a little bit different. I'm the most conservative person in the company from an appearance standpoint, as I'm sure you've seen. So we don't have a cookie cutter script for the type of manager we hire. We want someone who cares.
Yeah.
It needs to be a two-way street. We want them to work hard for us. We want to provide a really fun atmosphere to work in and give them some freedom. We give some artistic freedom. The artwork on the walls are chosen by the management teams. They work with local artists.
Oh, that's really
cool. I mean, I see new artwork when I walk in. I don't know that it's going to be there. We give some flexibility to our management team to run food specials. Mm. So we do have seasonal menus that are strategic, mm-hmm. but then there's also the opportunity for the teams within those stores to run specials that maybe really appeal to their client base. But if we have a client base that's like in Denton that's heavy vegan, mm-hmm. we can tend to run some maybe daily specials that appeal to the vegan audience.
Right.
So it's a good combination of some really good structured things we do on the food side and training with people, but also give them a freedom to be themselves.
Yeah, that is fascinating.
Is finding quality talent, is that probably, I'm guessing, one of the bigger hurdles to be overcoming in a restaurant?
I think the single hardest thing any of us do.
Yeah.
Especially in the current environment in Dallas-Fort Worth. You may have seen recently that magazines have assigned Dallas as the restaurant, you know, city of 2019. That's a wonderful thing for a customer. For an operator, it's a challenge because that means there's lots and lots of choices, mm-hmm. which means, you know, the talent pool is thin and you have to work hard to find people that are good employees that really work well in your concept. So anytime there's that much competition out there, it's not just a competition for customers, it's also for good people.
So you mentioned the flexibility of dress code. You've mentioned like the culture and the quality of managers and the freedom that they're able to have. Are there other strategic things that you're doing to find good talent?
Really, it's a matter of creating a culture and environment where people feel comfortable. I think there's been lots of studies done for the younger generation that they want connection. Everybody wants a good schedule and everybody wants as much money as they can make,
right.
But tried to provide good connections with them. We try to allow them to be themselves in their outside life. We being 24/7, we run multiple shifts a day. Mm-hmm. So some people may be students and need to work overnights. Some people may have a second job. So flexibility in scheduling, we provide a lot of growth from within. We don't require a college degree for a manager. What we require is somebody who works hard, is willing to learn. So a lot of our management team may have started as a busser or a server,
right,
and kind of worked their way up to an hourly shift leader role and then ultimately to a general manager. We have lots of examples of that.
Yeah.
So a focus on culture, a focus on flexibility and working with people. I think that's pretty great.
Promoting hustle. You know,
yeah.
That's a big part of it too. Yeah. So what are some factors that tend to inhibit your voice in a crowded DFW area specifically related to food? Like how is it that you guys are approaching your marketing to be able to increase that awareness and inform your audience?
Well, we try to remind them what we're good at, and we were here first kind
That's
of thing.
Right.
You know, I think you've noticed in the industry that everybody serves breakfast now.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that way 10, 15 years ago. So you could be unique by serving the type of cuisine that we did. Now most restaurants serve breakfast. Lots of people serve overnight food. Everybody's in the delivery business. You know, reminding them of the quality of the food. One thing we do, and I encourage any of our customers, some patients, when you're with us, if it's a busy restaurant, keep in mind, one of the reasons you may like coming to Cafe Brazil is you can get an omelet any way you want.
Mm-hmm.
And you can substitute your side, and you can have it cooked dry. You can get extra this, sub that. And that's been important to our customers from day one.
Mm-hmm.
You can't always do that at other concepts. You have to order just like it is off the menu, and
right.
You try to change it up at all. I'm sorry, we can't do that. Our our menu is built for flexibility for the customer's sake.
So great. We're at the point where we get to talk about the actual food for just a minute.
Okay,
so the really fun thing is that we have clients and friends who they're rather picky, and you were just addressing this. And it's great because I can say, let's go to Cafe Brazil. And they say, well, I'm not sure if, I can just stop them right there. I can say, no, we're going to go to Cafe Brazil, and you're going to find something that you're going to love, because you guys hit the sweet, you know, the French toast with the anglaise sauce. You guys hit the sweet tones and pancakes and crepes, but then you also have the really savory stuff too. And the fact that you can mix and match and you can customize, that's huge. And we haven't found anywhere else like that in the Metroplex. So kudos to you. And it also seems like this is very strategic about how you guys go about it, even if it takes a little longer.
Well, thanks. Can you tell everyone what you just said?
Hey, I'm trying. I really do.
Yeah, if you can't tell,
I really boy. Like that French toast. Yeah.
I appreciate that. You hit the nail on the head. We are a little bit to everybody. When I have friends or business colleagues say, well, what should I order? I always say, well, you're going to have to help me out a little bit. Give me a category and we'll work from there, because we are breakfast, lunch, dinner, and late night. We do it all. And what we serve our customers changes. We serve a lot of breakfast all day long. Yeah. We're known for kind of the heavy breakfast. Whether you want the sweet, like you said, if you want pan crepes with fruit, or you want, you know, our El Gordo crepes with our homemade chorizo on it, you can go either direction. You can do that all day long. But we've supplemented that with sandwiches and salads at lunch, a little bit heavier items at dinner. Late night, we do a lot of appetizers, a lot of nachos, a lot of cheese fries, those kinds of things. And the coffee is available all day long. So we try to focus on the food. Sometimes the menu can get overwhelming to those. Mm-hmm. So we've done our best to stick to the real winners and try to supplement that. Now we've gone to a quarterly seasonal menu where we try to supplement. So right now we're in our holiday period, so we offer our pumpkin pancakes. We start getting phone calls in August wondering when the pumpkin pancakes are coming. And our holiday blend coffees, and each year this year we have a rum raisin pancake and waffle and some different things to make it interesting during the holiday time period. And we do that so the first quarter, what you'll see is some more salads, because everybody's eating all those pumpkin pancakes in the fourth quarter. And it's time to, the January, February getting shape time.
Yeah. So,
we'll focus a little bit more on the healthier items in the first quarter. So we've added a seasonal menu each quarter to try to keep the regular menu within reason, but still there's tons of options. I've been eating at Cafe Brazil for 25 plus years as a regular, and now being involved with management, I can still find something good to eat every day I go. So
you mentioned earlier that restaurants as a whole, food delivery is now a kind of a cultural norm. We're closing out 2019, pushing into 2020. What are some things you're focused on?
Well, I think we're all focused on delivery because that's the way of the world. You have to understand how your customers operate. So living in that world is important for us. What we focus on is making sure that we can deliver quality food. That's, from the time you order to the time you get, it's going to be a while.
Mm-hmm.
So we do strategically go in and make sure that we're not offering things that aren't going to make it to you the way that we would want it to be.
Right.
And you'd be surprised when people order. We've had people order fried ice cream through Uber Eats. And you're like, you really think that fried ice cream is going to be good by the time you get it? So, going in, the focus on the food, efficiency of providing that food, and people are less patient these days. So by nature, our concept is one where you can pick and choose like we talked about before, but also understanding having some items that you can execute quickly because people aren't as patient as they used to be. We don't, if you ever travel to Europe, they spend a little bit more time over their meals and have conversations. And it seems like we live in a world where everybody wants it fast and they're looking at their phones.
Yeah, no kidding.
you have to operate in that world as well. So one of the things I haven't touched on, we were one of the very first casual dining concepts in Dallas to provide free Wi-Fi.
Okay.
We're not unique in that anymore, but we did that early on, even back when Starbucks was charging you to be on the Wi-Fi. We wanted it to be a comfortable place. We see a lot of business meetings with laptops. We're near a lot of universities where people like to study over a cup of coffee.
That's right.
And we want it to be a comfortable place like that.
Yeah.
We want you to be able to hang out. I used to say as a customer, I could wear a suit in there. I could, you know, I could come from the gym. My daughter, who's about to turn 22, I used to take her in there when she was when she was a baby in her little, you know, travel seat. You know, any way you want to go to Cafe Brazil, you'll feel comfortable.
Yeah, and it is comfortable. What I particularly like is that it doesn't feel like everywhere else that you go. You know, that it feels really distinct. So if it has that distinction, if it's got the Dallas vibe, depending on where you are in the city, talk about expansion. Like, we're down here close to Houston. We sure would like to see these things spread. What is your thinking about that?
This was the ulterior motive.
That was basically why we invited you on, I think. Yeah.
Yes. You're not the first one that said that to me. Our goal is to be great at what we do. It doesn't really depend on the number of units. We don't have any pressure to grow, although we're always interested in looking. It, as I mentioned before, our strategy is to take on second, third generation space. I'm assuming one of the reasons why you like Cafe Brazil is because it's an affordable luxury.
Yeah.
You know, our menu items are priced reasonably. You can have a bottomless cup of coffee. Because of that, we don't have the high average unit volumes that some concepts do. Mm-hmm. So we have to be very strategic about the types of locations we go into. I would like to expand beyond DFW someday. We've expanded within Dallas. Mm-hmm. We used to be very much an urban Dallas concept, whereas now we're in Denton. Mm-hmm. We've branched out a little bit further. You know, someday we'd like to take on, you know, new opportunities. Mm-hmm. Probably within Texas would be as far as we would stretch. But that is certainly something we're looking for in the future.
You know, so restaurants, to my mind, are on the front edge of culture. We eat, you know, 3 squares a day, and that is how we communicate. That's how we come together as a community. I'm curious from your seat. You know, we've mentioned the food delivery being and the stress of constantly being on our phones and constantly moving faster, and we're moving faster and faster. Are there other things that you're seeing? I know this is kind of an open, broad question, but are there other things that you're seeing in our culture where Cafe Brazil is able to play into that, where you're able to help people build community around your food?
Well, I think one of the things that we do with the number of operating hours we have is provide people an opportunity to eat, have coffee, hang out whenever you want. Yeah. One thing I do think that's changed over time is you said 3 squares a day. It's a lot different than it used to be. When I was growing up, everybody ate breakfast at 8 o'clock, lunch at noon, and dinner at 6. Right. It's not that way anymore. Mm. And because we're in 24-hour locations, and we offer... We try to entice people to come in at different times. We have kids eat free during the weekdays at night. So if you come in and bring a child, you pay for your entree. Theirs is free. Mm-hmm. We try to do some things around different times of day, happy hours seasonally, where you can come in and get half price appetizers or half price frozen drinks in the summertime, mm-hmm. to really try to be available to those customers when it works for them. A lot of people work from home now, have meetings at different times. Everybody doesn't, you know, travel to work start at 8 and leave at 5.
That's right.
Yeah. So the world is flexible. We're trying to, you know, be flexible within that world.
So y'all keep that kitchen running all day.
That's right.
All day long at 4 of our locations. Never stops.
Man, that's pretty awesome.
You want to ask him the strange story question?
I do.
Okay.
All right. So this is not on your script here, and... we've just been collecting stories from restaurants because the crazy stuff happens in restaurants.
And being a 24-hour location, I'm sure you've seen and heard all kinds of things. But we give people an opportunity to say, yeah, this was a totally wild story. You won't believe this. Do you have anything like that you can draw from?
So appropriate for a podcast.
Well, we've heard some that are like, whoa, okay.
Well, we can't put that on the air.
Yeah. So we can always cut. So
we do maintain our G rating.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, but it has to be somewhat interesting, right? To tell a story.
Right.
One of my favorite stories about different walks of life that is, I guess, I'll keep it PG rated.
Okay.
Our University Park location, which y'all mentioned you'd been to before, right there on 75, all walks of life coming. We've had stories before where the college guys from SMU are sitting out on the patio at the same time some of the ladies get off their job dancing in the evening. Uh-huh. And we've had times where we've had to stop them from extending their work to our patio.
To your patio area.
Yes, to the patio area. There was no, the clothes were still on at this point, but there was, you know, there was a potential for a problem happening.
Yes.
So we had to diffuse, you know,
things were escalating. That's good.
Talk about cultures mixing right there. Man, that's wild.
Yes, there are lots of cultures that mix at 2:30 in the morning.
That's right. That's great. Well, that's a good one.
While working in the hospitals that come by and see us, because, you know, they want something besides just fast food, mm-hmm. are looking, you know, for some of them, that may be a hindrance for them coming in. Others are entertained. I always say when I have my trips out, what we call deep night, it's pretty entertaining because of, you know, the different walks of life that you see at that time.
That's right. And if you're isolated out in a suburb, it's good periodically to just come and say, hey, look, everybody doesn't look like me and not everybody talks like me. And this is it's a fun vibe in all of those stores.
Yes. And, you know, we like to say we provide a public service because some of those people probably could use a heavy meal and some coffee.
That's right.
Before they get all the way home. So
that's right.
That's really good. That's really good.
Well, Brent, I really appreciate you taking the time.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear you guys appreciate the concept so much. And I love what I do. I've been doing it for a long time as a regular customer and now as a manager of the business. So it's a tough business, but we keep plugging away because it's a great place to be.
Well, for our sake, please keep doing it.
Yes. Thank you.
We'll do that.
All right. Well, thanks,
Brent.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Brand Manual Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. We'd be super grateful if you shared. You can find the other episodes on Apple Podcast and Spotify. We'll see you next time on the Brand Manual Podcast.